What's going on, guys? It's me, Stephen Bagel, a.k.a. the NBAgle, your mom's favorite podcast. Back by popular demand, we have our special guest, Alexa Richocazzo, here with us once again. And today, we have some tequila shots and some rum. As you guys know, I am in law school. I just finished up my semester today. I have one more semester to go until I graduate. I pulled an all-nighter last night studying for this exam. And yeah, now I'm able to have my winter break and focus on this podcast and continue to be drinking with you guys, so pull one out for us.
I really have no excuse. I mean, the biggest excuse I have is I work 7 days straight. I don't know, I feel like a little tequila.
Your excuse is that you're fucking degenerate.
A little tequila is good for everyone, you know? Like, nobody says no to a good tequila shot.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off!
Okay, so as we know, there have been plenty of reports of Kevin Love being on the trade block for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It only seems like a matter of time until he is moved onto another team. There have been a lot of reports that he may want to return to Portland, where he was born and where he is from. There's a lot of speculation with them. There's a lot of speculation with multiple contending teams that he wants out of Cleveland and wants to go to a contender, which who could really blame him? So this pod is going to be focusing on that and the possible landing spots for where Kevin Love could go. Now, Alexa, the one tricky thing that I am seeming, I guess, to struggle with when putting together these trades is that everyone, we know the 2021 free agency class with Giannis and LeBron and Paul George and Kawhi and Bradley Beal, and everyone is saving all their money and making sure all the money's off the books for that 2021 season at a shot to sign any of these max free agents. So Kevin Love, we know he's has 4 years, $120 million on his deal. So after this year, he has 3 years, $90 million. What team is going to want to take on that kind of money when next summer everyone is going to want to have max cap space to try to sign and pursue Giannis, or mostly Giannis is the big prize, because I don't think many people expect LeBron or Kawhi or Paul George to leave. I mean, Bradley Beal would be a nice consolation, but really it's the Giannis sweepstakes in 2021.
Well, Caleb's so interesting for me too, because I adore Caleb. Like, I absolutely love him so much, but straight up, he's not the player that he used to be. And I absolutely hate to say something like that, but for a player in the trade block, like, it kind of sucks.
Especially one with that much money on the books.
It kind of sucks timing-wise with where he's at. And I feel like he could be traded to a team for a value less than what he's actually worth, even with me saying I don't think he's the player he used to be. Like, I don't know. I feel like with all these trades coming up and all these big dudes coming up that are going to be so great, that, like, it kind of sucks for him.
Okay, and I agree with everything you're saying, and I think at this point it's safe to say Kevin Love is overpaid.
Yeah.
So we have to find a team, basically, that isn't trying to open up that max slot for landing someone like Giannis or another superstar in 2021. We need to find a team that's already going to be over the cap space anyway, and a team willing to take on that kind of money, or a team maybe in a smaller market that usually doesn't sign big-time free agents that they'll swing for the fences just to land someone of Kevin Love's caliber, because quite frankly, no one else is going to sign there. So that's the difficulty I had going through this list. So what I did, I composited 14 teams that Kevin Love could go to and playing with the trade machine, potential trades that could happen. So what's going to happen is I am going to be those 14 teams, and Alexa is going to be the cast for each of them.
Steven, I didn't want to go to fucking Cleveland. I don't know what your issue is, but I didn't want to go here.
You and TJ McConnell both. For those of you who don't know, TJ McConnell on a live pod for the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, when there was rumors that LeBron wanted the Cavs to trade for him, he basically came on the live pod and said, I never wanted to go to fucking Cleveland. So we have that sort of reference.
And you know what? TJ's not in Cleveland.
TJ is not. He is in Indiana.
And I will pour another shot.
Okay, so the first trade I have is the Atlanta Hawks. We saw Trae Young the other day. A report came out that he was frustrated in the locker room, and management told him, we are going to be getting you help soon. So maybe Kevin Love is the help that they need. Atlanta is going to have roughly, I think it's $80 million in cap space this summer. So they have cap space for this summer and next summer. But realistically, I can't see them signing any sort of big-time free agent, so maybe they'd be willing to take Kevin Love on the books. The trade I proposed is Kevin Love for Chandler Parsons straight up. Chandler Parsons, we know, is on an expiring contract. That $25 million is off the books, so the Cavs basically just rid Kevin Love's $90 million, get him off the books. They open up the cap space, and they have all the cap space in the world once they get rid of him, because basically, the Cavs' whole team is already on an expiring contract this year. And then if you get Caleb off the books as well for that $30 million for all those years going forward, the Cavs have extensive cap space going forward.
I mean, I think that's a great trade for the Hawks. But I think Trae Young is being a little bitch in this thing, because him saying he needs help, like, when you get drafted to a team, like, you're most...
The better you are, the worst team you get drafted to.
You're most likely getting drafted to a team that's not good. So for him to already be bitching, saying, like, I need help, like, bro, no shit you need help.
You're well, John Collins is suspended 25 games, too, so that doesn't exactly
help either. No shit you need help. You're being drafted to a team that's, like, probably one of the worst teams in the league. Like, thanks, Trae Young. You're really helping us out there saying that. So it's like, I get what he's saying, but I also don't think that K-Love is going to be that missing piece that he needs, because I feel like the issue that Trae Young is saying, like, I'm a great player. I need someone to help me push our team to the next level. And I don't think K-Love is going to be that person. Now, looking at the trade for what it is and what you're saying, I mean, yeah, that would be a great trade for them, but is Trae Young going to be happy with it? I don't know.
I don't know if Kevin Love is a solution for Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know his fit next to John Collins. You'd probably have to move John Collins to the five at that point.
Well, that's what I would assume would happen with this trade too, but I still don't think it would push the team to a level that would really, truly be able to compete in the East.
I think the Hawks would be better off signing someone like Bogdan Bogdanovic or Brandon Ingram type this summer, and then still going into next summer with significant cap space where they could sign someone else. I think their issues run a lot deeper. Right now they have the second worst record in the NBA. So I think their issues run a lot deeper than adding Caleb, who'd probably be the third best guy. And that's all he is at this point. He's probably the third best player on the playoff team.
Yeah.
And I think John Collins and Trae Young are both clearly better than him at this point.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like from an owner, like a coach standpoint on the Hawks, I understand probably your best player is frustrated right now. But that doesn't mean, like, throw all your marbles into getting K-Love to the team when, like, you could probably wait a little bit, have Collins develop and become a better player. And I feel like they could wait
Well, and that's why I recommended someone like Bogdan Bogdanovic, who fits well next to Trae Young. Yeah. He could shoot threes. He could be the secondary playmaker on that team. Someone just along those lines.
It's a good trade, and, like, obviously that trade makes sense, both sides of it. But it's not the most beneficial.
And playing devil's advocate, I don't know if the Cavs... I know they said they want a first-round pick. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it. But Chandler Parsons straight up, I'm sure they could get an expiring contract from someone else with some sort of asset attached.
Has Chandler Parsons played this year?
He's played in like 3 games. But like, no, he's not like... It's literally just to get the money off the books and whatever. That's all it
Chandler
is.
Chandler Parsons, bro, you need to retire, be a model, I will buy your shit.
Read the other day, Chandler Parsons just bought one of the top 10 most expensive mansions in, what was it, Malibu? I just read a report the other day. It was in the top 10 most expensive mansions in Malibu.
Chandler Parsons, you come out with the calendar for 2020, I will buy it. Just get out of the NBA. Like, you're hot. Like, it's fine. You don't need to be playing basketball anymore.
Okay. The next team we have is the Boston Celtics.
Boo.
Clearly they're looking for big men. They're dealing with Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter as their two centers.
Boo.
We know they're loaded on the wings with Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. We know they have Kemba Walker. The big man is really the only piece they're missing. So could they trade for Caleb and be the potential five? The Celtics aren't going to be having cap space going forward anyway. They just signed Jaylen Brown to a max extension. They're going to have to sign Jason Tatum to a max extension next year. They just signed Kemba to a max contract. The Celtics are going to be capped out regardless. So what's the big deal about taking on Caleb's contract too if they're not going to have cap space regardless? This trade, I think, works out better for the Cavs than it does the Celtics. The trade I put together is Enes Kanter, Daniel Tice, so the two centers, and Marcus Smart. So how big of a piece would Marcus Smart would have to be in the deal in order to make the salaries work? I personally believe in the playoffs, the Celtics would be better off having Marcus Smart than they would Kevin Love. I think Marcus Smart is more of a contributor on a playoff team at this point than Kevin Love is, with his ability to play defense. We saw him cover in the Mavs game a few weeks ago. Marcus Smart 6'3", and he covered Kristaps Porzingis for 48 minutes and shut him down. So, I think this, you can speak for Cleveland, Marcus Smart would probably be a great asset that the Cavs would love to have and build on. He still has, I think, 3 more years left on his deal. But realistically, for the Celtics, I think that they wouldn't be willing to give up Marcus Smart in that sort of trade.
Yeah, I feel like Marcus Smart, as a Sixers fan, I don't like Marcus Smart. I think he's kind of overrated for what he is, but I think if I'm thinking for the Celtics in a trade like this, Marcus Smart is a valuable player to the team. I think Tice, like, he's not great, but, like, he's a good...
He's serviceable.
Yeah, he's a good center to have on the team. I think Kanter, I love Kanter. I think he's so good.
Enes Kanter, you know, come playoff time, is going to be taken off the court because his inability to play defense.
Well, playoffs is all about defense. And Enes Kanter, if we're looking at that, like, he sucks.
Yeah, so...
So, it doesn't make sense, but also does it make sense if you're on the Celtics to trade both of your centers for Caleb? That, like...
And Marcus Smart.
And including Marcus Smart. But I'm saying, like, even just both of your centers for Caleb,
yeah.
I don't think that makes sense. I think maybe if you could get away with one of your centers and Marcus Smart, which wouldn't work, but, like, maybe... I kind of would like to see Caleb on the Celtics. I think that would be really good for them. But I don't think the trade makes sense, and I don't think the Celtics would like it either. They seem super attached to Caleb. To Marcus Smart also.
As they should be. Okay, next up, I have the Los Angeles Lakers. Now,
so should we boo them? Do we boo them?
We can boo them as Sixers fans, especially with the possibility of us playing them in the championship.
I'll boo them as Sixers fans. I like LeBron. I like AD. So I was them. I'm not going to boo you, but I'm going to boo you as a Sixers fan.
Okay, so the Lakers, this is actually a pretty similar trade to the Boston one I just put together. The Lakers, we can assume, are going to be operating as an over-the-cap team. They have Anthony Davis, a free agent this summer, and LeBron, a free agent next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming they sign both of them, the only way they'd be able to acquire a third star would be via trade. We know LeBron and Caleb work together. We've seen them win a championship mm-hmm. together. But I don't know how Caleb would fit alongside Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis has vocally said, I am a power forward, I do not want to play center anymore, which is why he's playing so much alongside Dwight Howard. So that forces Caleb to have to play the five. And defensively, with how good the Lakers' defense has been, Kevin Love at the five is not going to do what that defense wants it to do. So this begs the question then, if you're the Lakers, would you be willing to part with Danny Green in a deal?
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. Me, personally, I think that's a no-brainer. I think Anthony Davis needs to...
If Anthony Davis wants to be a great player, he needs to learn how to play center.
If Anthony Davis is an all-star, and if he's someone that actually wants to get a ring instead of sitting on the fucking side while everyone's in the playoffs, he needs to shut up, figure his shit out, and I think this is a perfect trade for them. I think get Caleb on your team. He's shown he could win. He's boys with LeBron. He knows he can win with LeBron, so they have that. Anthony Davis, stop complaining. Figure it out. Yeah, that's really it. I think all you gotta do is figure it out, and that would be dope.
Okay, so
I love Danny Green, but I think the fact that you're getting Caleb in
Danny
there,
Green's a very good fit for
no,
that team.
I love Danny Green on that team, but I think Caleb would be so good on Lakers.
Okay, so the full trade, since I never disclosed it to you guys, it was Danny Green, Avery Bradley, and DeMarcus Cousins, who we know is out for the year, go to the Cavs. Avery Bradley and DeMarcus Cousins both on expiring... Avery Bradley actually has 2 years on his deal.
How's Avery Bradley doing this year?
He was starting for them. He got hurt for a little bit, and they started Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
How's he doing now, though?
He's doing okay. I mean, he's a wing defender, and that's why that defense is so good, because they have Anthony Davis and all those wing defenders like Danny Green and Avery Bradley. So,
well, I was going to say, I feel like in the trade, I know Avery Bradley and Danny Green are both good wing defenders.
And the Cavs have the second worst defense in the NBA.
I mean, I don't give a shit about the Cavs. But
it's about establishing the culture and showing the young guys, this is how you play defense. Show Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, this is how you play defense, by throwing Danny Green and Avery Bradley out
there.
But
I also feel like in a trade like this, I understand you're teaching the young guys on the Cavs that, but I also feel like when you're doing a trade like this, you're trading so that the Warriors. You're doing this so that the Lakers can win a championship. That's what it's for. It's not for the Cavs. No one gives a shit about the Cavs. So it's like, are the Cavs going to be as good if they're able to give up their wing defenders, Danny Green and Avery Bradley?
Well, the Cavs could flip Danny Green and Avery Bradley this summer into something else and acquire more assets.
How long is Danny Green? A year.
Danny Green has one more year after this year. So they could flip Danny Green to a contender probably for a draft pick.
How long would the contract be with Caleb?
Caleb has 3 more years after this year.
I think I'd have to do that because you know Caleb is a proven player, and the fact that I love LeBron, but I feel like there's only so many players that can play with him and be happy playing with him and
So you do it both sides of the argument.
I just feel like it makes sense. I feel like that would be a good trade to do, but Do the Lakers have to do it? I don't think they have to.
I think Danny Green... Either way, Danny Green is the third best player. Kevin Love would be the third best player.
Yeah, I think if they did it, sick, you're getting Caleb. And you know what? I don't know...
They're 24-3 without Kevin Love.
I don't know LeBron and Caleb's relationship personally. If they have a relationship where, let's say LeBron's on the Lakers saying Caleb's my boy, I need him on my team, we will win if I have Caleb by my side, then you know what? If I'm the Lakers, LeBron kind of runs the team, cool, you know what? I'm going to get K-Love on my team, but I don't think it
changed. If LeBron wants K-Love, he'll get K-Love.
If he wants him, he'll get him on the team, but I also don't think this trade upgrades the Lakers that much.
I think it might downgrade them in the long run.
I think in the long run it could downgrade them, but do I also think it could help them get to a championship? Yeah, because if you have that, like, relationship with the team, I think it could help. And I also think going back to the Cavs, which I know no one probably cares about right now, I love Danny Green. I think having Danny Green on the Cavs could be really
And Danny Green is an asset that you could flip. You can't get a first-round pick for Kevin Love because of his contract, but you could damn well get a pick for Danny Green next year.
And Avery Bradley on that team?
Yeah, but Avery Bradley's not what he used to be.
Avery Bradley's so good.
Avery Bradley was an all-world defender, top-five defender in the league.
On, like, yeah. I guess, like, a vet as the team to teach all those young guys on the... Like, I love all the young guys on the Cavs. I think he would be so good to have on there. I like that trade. Like that trade a lot.
And keep in mind, Kevin Love did play basketball at UCLA, so he played college ball in LA. Mm-hmm. And with that said, let's go to the other team playing in the Staples Center.
Ooh.
Kevin Love going to the Clippers.
Oh, God, I'm going to throw up.
So, the Clippers cap... room is pretty interesting because they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both as free agents in 2021.
L.
But Montrezl Harrell is a free agent this summer. Assume they sign him to a Neomax contract. They locked up Patrick Beverley through 2022. They locked up Zubac through 2022. They have Lou Williams, also a free agent in 2021. So they have Lou Williams, Paul George, and Kawhi all free agents in 2021. So theoretically, they could have max cap space, but realistically, they want to operate as an over-the-cap team because Trez is going to sign a max this summer, hopefully, for them, and then they want to retain Kawhi and Paul George if they both have success. So realistically, this is another team that could operate as an over-the-cap team. So the trade I came up with for them, Kevin Love would go to the Clippers, the Cavs would get Mo Harkless, who's on an expiring contract. Zubac, who just signed a four-year deal. So you get a young starting center to replace Tristan Thompson for 4 years.
This would be a trade right now, right?
Yes. Then Rodney Magruder, who just signed a three-year deal. So that's a wing that you have under contract. And Patrick Patterson, who signed a one-year deal. So you're getting a lot of money off the books. You're getting Caleb off the books for 3 years. You're getting Ivica Zubac, who probably takes over for Tristan Thompson as a starting center, and you have your starting center for the next 4 years. You get off of Caleb's money.
I mean, if you're the Cavs, no shit you do this, but...
As the Clippers, are you giving up too much?
I don't think
Montrezl Harrell is still probably the most underrated player in the league. He's going to get a max contract this summer. He is absolutely ridiculous. He's averaging 19-9 off the bench. I'm afraid Kevin Love will take too many minutes away from Montrezl Harrell.
I also think, similar to what we were saying with the Lakers, like, it's a trade where it's like, sure, if you do it, you're getting Kevin Love. Which, again, going back, I adore Kevin Love. I think he's so good, but he's not what he used to be. And it's one of those trades where if you did it, sure, you'd be benefiting because K-Love is a good, beneficial, like, consistent player. But I feel like you probably would be a little bit better off if you didn't do it because you do have those other players on your team as, like, your bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I think come playoff time, you probably would benefit more by not doing the trade. I don't know. Like, I think the trade, it doesn't make sense for the Clippers.
I think the Clippers are just such a well-defined team of what
they're
already
so
are.
Balanced.
And they are so defensive-minded and everything like that. I just don't think Kevin Love fits into what they want to do and what they want to build.
I don't think Kevin Love fits at all into what they're doing. I think I liked him in the Lakers.
I mean,
the fact that him and LeBron already, like, won together, but I feel like with the Clippers, it's like he feels kind of weird going there. I don't think it works.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird fit, but at the same time, the Clippers aren't really giving up much. They're giving up Zubac and Mo Harkless, so it's hard to say they would be worse.
Well, I don't know. I just like I feel like I'd rather have...
They could probably get another third star without...
You could do that. I'd rather just have those players on my team as, like... Even if they don't play in the playoffs, I'd rather just have them as assets on my team rather than trade them for someone like Caleb, where, like, I don't think that's going to benefit my team in the playoffs right now. Like, I don't know. I don't like that as much.
Okay. Now, this one, I don't realistically see happening, but it was interesting enough for me to put it in the top 14 when I went through and Caleb trade for every team. Kevin Love would be going to New Orleans, where he would probably be the starting center along next to Zion. We know Zion and his inability to shoot, and we need someone like Kevin Love who could stretch the floor playing next to him to really maximize his potential. But clearly the Pelicans are looking at a, seems like a relatively long rebuild given how slow they got in out of the gate this year and how poorly they started the season. It would be Derek Favors and Etuan Moore, two expiring contracts. So same thing, two expiring deals go to the Cavs. They get the money off the books at the end of the year, get rid of Kalo's $90 million. But I don't know if the Pelicans are going to want to commit that kind of money to Kevin Love when they need to pay Brandon Ingram a max this summer. They might need to pay Lonzo Ball the following summer. And
I don't mind that trade.
Well, the thing is, the Pelicans, it just came out that they're that they're open to trading Jrue Holiday and potentially J.J. Redick. Yeah. So are they really going to want to add another veteran when they're clearly trying to rebuild?
But also, what if you traded those dudes, got Caleb on the team, traded Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick for...
At that point, you could keep Jrue Holiday.
Who could you... But no, I'm saying, like, let's say you got Caleb on the team. Then you still want to trade Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick. Who do you get? I think the idea...
I mean, you could, like, get a lot of significant picks. Still built around Zion, Ingram.
Mm-hmm. I think the idea that you could still get Caleb on the team, but I feel like you could trade Jrue Holiday, trade J.J. Redick. Like, clearly this team isn't winning this year, which I'm upset by because... They were my underdogs, and I'm real upset by that they're
Well, they were also your underdogs before Zion got hurt. I know you still said you liked them after Zion got hurt, but...
I love all the guys on that team. But regardless, I think the idea that you could get Caleb on the team, be training Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick, to get picks or somebody on the team there... I think that could be really good for the future. I think even... Take away trading for someone now with Jrue Holiday and J.J. Redick. Get a pick. What could you get for that, realistically, with picks going forward?
Jrue Holiday will probably net you two picks. J.J. Redick nets you one. You get three first-round picks with Zion plus Brandon Ingram, assuming you re-sign him, plus Jackson Hayes, plus Nikhil Alexander-Walker, plus Lonzo Ball.
I like Jackson Hayes. I like him. Like... Taking Zion aside, I like Jackson Hayes, and I think if you're just, the Pelicans need to figure out what they want to do, and if they really want to continue rebuilding, then I think it's a no-brainer to do something like that. And I think the fact that you could have someone like Caleb who won a championship, has a ring, he clearly has a good head on his shoulders. If you ever read any article with Caleb on it, like, he's a good dude, and I feel like to have someone like that on the team helping to build a team, that's a good team set to win championships in the future.
And keep in mind, Cavaliers GM, Pelicans GM, David Griffin, he's already traded for Kevin Love once. He traded Andrew Wiggins when they had number one pick to get Kevin Love when he was in Cleveland. Now he's in New Orleans, so he's already familiar with Caleb. He clearly knows... how good Caleb is in a locker room, so who knows?
He's a good locker room dude, and I think if you're trading for players that are going to be more like building players, getting younger dudes on the team, you got to get a guy that's good in the locker room because that's what's really going to make your team the next level, having an older veteran that's good with younger guys. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Nah, you're good.
Just like went to another space.
Yeah, but my thing is the Pelicans already have that now with Jrue Holiday and JJ Redick, and they're trying to trade them. So yeah, it's like, just weird. I don't know how they want to rebuild and be trading for someone like Kevin Love at the same time. I'm not saying it's not possible, but maybe they think, hey, when Zion comes back, we can compete as early as next year. Maybe they want to trade for Kevin Love, keep Jrue Holiday and JJ around.
Bottom line, and then, I need to see Zion compete in the NBA because you're someone,
well, the preseason he dominated.
Well, you're someone, though, that like said, Zion, he's great, obviously, but I don't know how he's going to be long term. Me, I feel like on the other side of it, I see Zion play and I'm like, this dude is like such another level than any other guy I've ever seen. Like, I'm always the person that tells Steven, like, oh, this guy's playing. He's clearly playing at a higher level than any other guy playing right now in, like, summer league or whatever. And when that happens, it's like Donovan Mitchell. Okay, sick. But, like, I don't know. Like, I want to see Zion play. I feel like it's so hard to determine how this team's going to be.
Until you see
Zion play, because
especially with Brandon Ingram playing the way he is,
he could be so good. But it's like, if it doesn't translate to the NBA, then it doesn't really mean anything. And also, like, if he's gonna be someone that gets hurt all the time, it doesn't really mean anything either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the next trade I have, this one I think is probably the most unrealistic one on the list, because it involves the Toronto Raptors, and Masai Ujiri, we know, is going to want to be in the Giannis sweepstakes. He specifically signed Kyle Lowry to a one-year extension, so he'd have that cap space in 2021. Give me 1 second to pull up Toronto's books. Toronto, in committed money, has $46 million committed to... Not even. They have $42 million committed for two guys under contract. So they had two guys under contract, had to rebuild an entire team. Masai Ujiri is going to want to pair Giannis with Siakam. So I think the Raptors are going to... Siakam's the only guy they have under contract. They have him and Norman Powell as a player option. Norman Powell, with the way he's playing, could opt out of that player option. And they have only Siakam, and then could just rebuild the whole team. But what I'm interested to see is the Raptors do have enough for two max guys. So what I think they're going to do is re-sign Van Vliet to close to a max this summer, and then try to get Giannis next summer. But either way, I don't think they're going to want to tie their books down with Kevin Love. But a trade that I came up with would be Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson both going to the Raptors. We know Tristan Thompson is from Canada, so he would want to play for the Raptors. And they would give Ibaka and Marc Gasol both expiring contracts. So I don't think the Raptors want to commit the kind of money to K-Love because they want to be flexible in their cap space.
Plus,
I think they're going to want to re-sign Marc Gasol for a cheap contract this summer to keep him around going forward.
How old is he?
I believe he is 35, let's say.
Do we take into account, like, Khloe Kardashian with Tristan Thompson and, like, the distance that they'd be dealing? No.
Marc Gasol's 34. Cool. He's turning 35 in July. I don't think there's much to talk about with this trade, because I don't see any way Masai Ujiri and the Raptors are going to commit this long-term money to K-Love when they feel they have a good shot of getting Giannis in 2021.
I hate that, because
the only way they could do it...
I love K-Love, and I hate that he's just, like, in this shitty position.
The only way...
traded. Like, I hate that, but, like, it doesn't make sense.
The only way the Raptors would do it is if they were willing to let Van Vliet walk after this year and Lowry walk after next year.
But why would they do that?
They wouldn't.
No.
So I don't think we have much more to say about this trade then.
Oh, K-Love, I love you.
Everyone's saving money for 2021, so I don't see many teams realistically being willing to sign or trade for K-Love and that kind of money. Because everyone wants to save cap space for that offseason.
Do you think Caleb's going to end up being on a bad team? Or, okay, sorry out there, a rebuilding team just because of the 2021 aspects that they have in the
market? I think he's going to end up in a small market.
Yeah.
In a team where never signs anyone anyway. That's...
So the Hawks.
One, no, I'm thinking of somewhere like Phoenix.
Okay.
Where someone... No one ever signs with fucking Phoenix. No one's going to ever sign with fucking Phoenix. So I see someone like them being willing, okay, we're not going to be players in free agency anyway. We're never going to be able to land a big star in free agency. If we want to get another star to pair with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, we're going to have to do it through a trade. So yeah. I'm just using the Suns as an example. But yeah, that's where I think he's going to end up. Okay, up next we have the Denver Nuggets. So Denver, I have two trades. The first one, it would be Kevin Love for Paul Millsap straight up. Paul Millsap is on an expiring contract. The other trade would be Kevin Love to Denver for Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant. That would then probably push Paul Millsap to the bench. And they'll have three super big men like the Raptors do, where they have Ibaka coming off the bench. The Nuggets have to do something similar with Paul Millsap and start Kevin Love and Jokic.
But then they still have Millsap on the expiring contract?
Yes, and then you let him walk at the end of the year.
And then you'd have K-Love for 2 years?
3 more years after this year. The Nuggets, keep in mind, they don't affect the 2021 class. They're already maxed out. They have Jamal Murray under contract for $32 million, Jokic for $30 million, and Gary House for $20 million. So all three of them already maxed them out.
So they could be a team that's really looking for...
They could be a K-Love contender. It just depends. It depends what they think of Paul Millsap, if they either want to trade him straight up, or they think that K-Love would be an upgrade to him after this year.
How is Millsap doing this year?
He's Paul Millsap. He doesn't put up numbers. He's like an Al Horford type. Doesn't show up in the box score.
How's he doing compared to K-Love? Which, let's keep in mind, K-Love is on the Cavs. I would say Millsap's on a contending team. He's on the Nuggets, even though I don't like joking.
Paul Millsap fits well enough with the Nuggets that they were willing to pay him $30 million this year to come back. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for Paul Millsap.
Okay, how is he doing compared to K-Love this year?
I mean, they're different players. I think Paul Millsap might fit with Jokic better because of his ability to play defense. I think Kevin Love and Nikola Jokic, imagine how slow that front line is getting out in transition.
Kind of would like them next to each other.
I don't know how I feel about it. But either way, I think the Cavs would love to get... Well, I'm saying... If they did Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee's on an expiring, Paul Millsap's on an expiring, and Jeremy Grant has a player option for $9 million next year, which I'm sure he's going to opt out of given how weak the free agent class is this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm sure Jeremy Grant wouldn't want to stay in Cleveland.
He's with his boy DJ.
Oh, yeah. So that's another one I thought of and threw out there, but I think Denver could be a possible destination, especially... If they think Paul Millsap's going to walk at the end of the year and they think Kevin Love would be an upgrade or a replacement for him.
I don't mind this. I mean, I think, like, if they even have a chance of thinking that Paul Millsap could leave, obviously this is
beneficial. Or if they want to move on from him.
Yeah, either way, I think this could be a beneficial and a trade that could happen. So I don't mind this one.
Do you mind a front court of Kristaps and K-Love? With Luka distributing them the ball. That is the whitest team I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? The Mavs love white people.
They do. And
they love white people that don't know English.
And they they love white people. They'd be trading 3 black people for a white person.
Do we have to, like, talk to, like...
Who, Mark Cuban?
Yeah. Do we, like... Does Mark Cuban just like white people? Are we doing that? No.
No. He's already having enough allegations with all the sexual assault going on there. I don't want to put any more accusations on him.
I will say Mark Cuban likes all people, no matter your race. He just probably doesn't really care about women.
Apparently not. So this
but
trade...
I like Mark Cuban, so it doesn't matter.
He's a shark. So this trade would be Kevin Love and John Henson's expiring just to make salary
John
match.
John Henson.
Just to make salary match.
What a name.
For Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and Justin Jackson. So Tim Hardaway Jr. has a player option for $19 million next year that he'd pick up to stick around in Cleveland next year. Dwight Powell is under contract for as long as Caleb is. He has 3 more years after this year.
He's 3 more years.
He just signed this summer. So
a lot of teams.
He signed 4 years. He signed 4 years, $43 million. So he's getting about $11 million. He'd probably be the starting center once Tristan Thompson walks this summer. And Justin Jackson was the 15th pick in the draft 2 years ago. So
yeah,
maybe the Cavs... He is ass, but maybe the Cavs could find something in him. So, as the Cavs, whatever, you're getting Tim Hardaway Jr. stuck on the books next year, but then you're clearing still that 60-plus mil the following 2 years... You have Dwight Powell probably as your potential starting center, and you're taking a flyer on Justin Jackson. It's not a trade as the Cavs that would excite me, but what do you think about it from the Mavs perspective? Having you'd have a Luka, Kristaps, K-Love, big three.
Oh, I think that's dope as the Mavs, but I think if I'm supposed to be the Cavs, because you sent me here, Steven, that like... I feel like the Cavs kind of have some flexibility with all these trades that you're giving us because they are rebuilding and, like, if they don't get the guy that they, like, absolutely want or if they don't get, like, the number one guy to, like, rebuild their team with, like, it's kind of okay because they are rebuilding.
And I just looked at it. Dallas will not have a max cap spot in 2021. So that could be another potential K-Love destination.
Because they're not going to be able to get one of those max guys there.
Because Kristaps is under contract for 31.7. They just signed him to that max contract. Luka's getting 10. Dwight Powell's getting 11. Delone Wright is getting 8.5. Maxi Kleber, 8.8. Seth Curry, 8.2. So all these guys they just signed to contracts this summer, all of them are on 3 or 4 year deals. So getting K-Love, you still would be able to have about 20 million cap space. With K-Love on the books? Because Luka's extension wouldn't kick in yet?
Do you think K-Love would work next to them?
That would be a deadly shooting front court. K-Love and Kristaps.
It would be a good shooting, but, like, do you think...
It would be horrendous defensively. All three of those guys are slow off their feet. All three of them are below-average defenders.
You're also getting a lot of experience with K-Love, too, though. I don't know.
I think the Mavs could be a potential landing spot.
Yeah, I don't think that's... It makes sense. Like, all these, like, what-ifs that we're saying, I think that's worth the risk. Because, like, we're saying what-ifs as if, like, K-Love's brand new to the league. Like, he's a good player, and, like, a lot of those things that we're saying what-if to, they could potentially figure out. I like that. I like that a lot as a landing spot for him.
What about the Big Apple? MSG, Madison Square Garden, Kevin Love.
Listen, Steven, if you're saying anywhere, I don't like anywhere compared to Philly. So if we're comparing anywhere to Philly, I'm going to, like,
The Knicks, we know, always want to be big players in the free agent market, and they strike out every single year. Right now, they only have about $16 million in committed salary for 2021. So
I hope K-Love.
So they could have $100 million. So they could have $100 million in cap space. So they could theoretically trade for K-Love, have an open max spot, and still have significant money to sign another player. Maybe not a max, but close to it.
But nobody's gonna sign with the Knicks.
Well, no shit. But the Knicks always keep the option open in case someone does want something.
The Knicks keep the option open, but like, hello, Knicks, like. Nobody's signing with you because nobody wants to play for your team. So, like, no.
Well, the trade is Julius Randle.
I love Julius Randle.
Or Bobby Portis. Either one of them. Bobby Portis is on expiring. Julius Randle is under contract for next year, so he'd have 1 year with the Cavs. Plus, Taj Gibson or Alfred Payton. Either one. Both on expiring contracts. So...
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
I just like...
It's more or less you're getting Caleb off the books. You might have to deal with... You might get Julius Randle for 1 year.
Most of these trades, like... Obviously, the Cavs benefit more than the other team. Like, they're trying to get rid of his contract.
Well, the Knicks, we know, are desperate to really just do something. So I could see them doing a desperate move, something like this, to try to get it done.
I mean, like, if this happened, it wouldn't surprise me. But, like, that sucks for, like, Caleb. The Knicks are a hot mess. And, like, this is one trade that if it went through, I wouldn't be surprised because as I've been saying through this whole podcast, Caleb is not what he used to be. So what surprise would it be if a team like the Knicks, who are a hot mess, got a player who isn't what he used to be? So you're spending all of your money or whatever on a player that... Sick.
Hey, the Knicks might be desperate to just do something.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That, like, they're so desperate to do something that, like, oh, Caleb, all right. We know that none of these dudes in 2021 are going to want to come here. Like, is Giannis really going to go to the Knicks?
No. No shot.
If Giannis goes to the Knicks, I have to question him. He's not going to the Knicks. So I just, like... That's a trade that, like, I feel like if I saw it happen, I'd be like, oh, this isn't surprising, but, like, that sucks. That's a shitty trade. That sucks.
Here's a trade I think you'll like in the Cavs perspective.
Ooh.
Kevin Love goes to Orlando for Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross. I think Aaron Gordon would be a phenomenal fit on that young Cavs, that explosive young Cavs team. I think he fits the trajectory better than K-Love does. And I think Orlando is ready to move on from him, especially Orlando is on that cusp of being the 8 seed and not being able to get past that. I think pairing K-Love on that team might be able to get them a little bit over that hump. Not completely.
I kind of like that. I feel like
If I was the Cavs, I'd be jumping for joy if you were going to offer me Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon has...
Again, going back to, I feel like all these trades, aren't you jumping for joy if you're, like, a Cavs
just getting rid of K-Love.
Yeah. But I feel like as a Magic fan, like, I feel like you've been waiting so long.
You've been waiting since you traded Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and, like, Aaron Gordon, he's a good player, but... I don't think he's going to be a player on the team that, like, excites a lot of people.
Aaron Gordon.
Is that fair to say about him?
I mean, he's not. He's the Magic's, I want to say, second best player. This year, he's probably the third best player just because of the year that Evan Fournier is having this year.
Are we talking about Markel Fultz?
No, I'm talking about Vucevic. And Vucevic was an all-star last year. Vucevic isn't what he was last year.
I feel like
Evan Fournier is the best guy on that team
right
now.
On the team to be, like, the number one player on the team. And it's like, why even have him on the team if he's not going to be the number one player? Like, why not get him to a team like the Cavs?
Well, pair him with Darius Garland and Colin Sexton and see what he can do.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's Aaron
Gordon.
I think out of all the trades we talked about, I think that's probably the most fair trade for both teams.
Aaron Gordon has 2 more years left on his deal. He has 18.1 next year. Then he declines to 16.4 in 2021.
And I think that's fair because...
So the Cavs have 2 years to experiment with him. Rebuild,
like,
bring in more rookies, bring in more top lottery picks,
and
see what you have.
Because you don't know if Aaron Gordon's going to progress. Because I think he definitely could be a dude that progresses in a year and is sick and is exactly what we thought he was going to be. But I also think that's fair trade because we don't know what's going to happen with Caleb either. He can come back in a year and be like, if he's paired with the right players, he could be sick, but also he could be not. So I feel like, I really like that trade. I like that a lot.
Okay, the next team I have is the Miami Heat. this is another team I think is pretty unrealistic because I think they have Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo all on rookie contracts. So with all four of those guys and Jimmy Butler, they have room for a max contract in 2021, and they're going to be in the Giannis pursuits. But given that they have those four rotation starting caliber players all on rookie contracts, Bam Adebayo is not going to be due for an extension for two more years. Tyler Hero was just drafted. Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson took those cheap TJ McConnell deals that the Sixers did with TJ McConnell. Like 4 years, $6 million.
Can they trade for Caleb and still get Giannis?
Give me 1 second to pull it up. Because I don't believe so. Because they already had Jimmy. So that's the two max guys, Caleb and Jimmy. They have in 2021 Caleb under contract for $36 million, Justice Winslow for $13 million, but I would have Justice Winslow.
Did you say?
Jimmy Butler for 36. Jimmy Butler under contract for $36 million. Justice Winslow for $13 million, but Justice Winslow would be going out in the Caleb trade. And then Tyler Hero for $4 million. And then, damn, they only have Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson and Bam all only until the end of next year, so they're going to have to pay all three of them. So the Heat, I think, are already going to have their own priorities of trying to lock up all these guys.
They're not fair.
They're going to have low cap holes, so they could still go over the cap to sign them.
So do you think that the Heat would be more likely to pass on this Caleb trade and just try and wait for Giannis?
I don't know how desperate they are to win now. I mean, they're the second seed in the East as of today, so.
Which, we said, did we say this on the last podcast? I don't think it's going to last with them.
I don't know. They're a very well-coached team. They're great at player development. They developed all these young guys to really play their roles.
I know. Every time we have a game where, hello, hey, Heat fans, like, we just lost to you.
Well, anyway, the trade I had would be Justice Winslow plus plus one of these four guys. Either Myles Leonard, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, or James Johnson.
Okay, yeah.
So, Justice Winslow and then just a bullshit contract that's going to expire this year or the end of next year.
Yeah.
But, realistically, I think the Heat are going to want to save the cap space to try to pair Jimmy Butler with another superstar, plus having all these guys on rookie deals.
I think it depends what Jimmy Butler wants, because if Jimmy Butler wants to continue saying that he wants to win and he wants to be the star of the team, then I think they are going to trade for Caleb because he wants to be the star of the team. But if Jimmy Butler wants to actually win a ring, then I think they try and wait and save for Giannis. So I think this depends what Jimmy Butler feels like doing on his vacation in Florida.
Do you like homecomings?
Homecomings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reunions?
Yeah, I think they're fun.
Kevin Love back to Minnesota, where it all began. Minnesota has Cat and Wiggins both under contract for $31 million in 2021. So just by having both of them, they're not going to have any sort of cap space for 2021. So this is another realistic spot that I could see Kevin Love landing because Minnesota has no other way to acquire another star because they have no cap space.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
So what do you think about Gorgui Dieng and Robert Covington going to the Cavs?
I think that's such a good trade for them.
For the Cavs?
Yeah.
Robert Covington is under contract for two more years after this year at $12.1 million and $12.9 million.
Well, Cav has a dope contract.
Yeah, shout out to the Sixers for getting that contract done with him. And then Gorgui Dieng.
Can we do a three-team trade and add the Sixers in there and get Covington back on our team?
Nope.
Nope.
Because he'd be the whole reason the Cavs would want to do the trade.
Yep.
So Gorgui Dieng would be under contract next year for $17 million. Then you have Covington under contract for two more years. I think if the Cavs could net someone like Covington, that's absolutely the best-case scenario you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You could always flip him then for an additional asset if you want, or you could keep him around and try to build, use him as a building block.
Yeah, I think this trade is just like...
And I think Minnesota's a realistic landing spot, given that they're another team that's going to be over the cap in 2021 regardless.
I think this is like a no-brainer trade.
For both teams?
Yeah. I just...
I like the fit of Kevin Love playing next to Kat a lot.
Yeah, I just feel like it makes sense. It makes sense with the teams. Like, we're not looking at him going to a team and being, like, that player that's going to, like, set them over the edge. Like, it just... It makes sense. Like, he's a good, solid... Like, let's say Andrew Wiggins continues to progress, like... K-Love is a good, solid building block to have on that team. It really does make sense on both ends. I really like this one, too.
Okay, the
are
next...
Are you keeping track of the ones I like? Because I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I know the three that you like. The next one I have is Sacramento. Sacramento just signed Dwayne Dedman to 3 years, $40 million to be the starting center. And within the first week of the season, Rashawn Holmes took over the starting center spot. So at this point, Dwayne Dedman is a huge waste of money, getting paid $40 million. He has two more years after this year. I have Dwayne Dedman, Trevor Ariza, and a first-round pick going to the Cavs for Kevin Love. So how do we feel about this one, Kevin Love? Kevin Love would be going to Sacramento to pair him with Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, and Marvin Bagley. What do you think of that big four?
That trade kind of reminds me of, like, the Cavs trade that we just talked about, the T-Wolves trade that we just talked about, in a way, because I feel like the Kings matched with the T-Wolves, they're not teams that I think are going to, like, win right now. Like, they're not the Bucks, they're not the Sixers, they're not the Lakers, they're not the Clippers. We know that. Like, they're not, like, the number one teams in the league, but I feel like...
But this could help them get to the next step in the last where they need to.
I think that this type of trade is gonna... It could put them to the next level.
Yeah, and at this point...
I like this one a lot, too.
Dwayne Dedman is under contract for two more years after this year, for $27 million. Yeah. At this point, he's a waste of money. The Kings overpaid him to begin with.
Does he play?
He's the backup center. Rashawn Holmes took over
play,
the starting
though?
Center. Yeah, he plays 15 minutes a night.
Yeah, and I feel
Rashawn
like
Holmes,
how many backup centers could you get from, like, the G League to just put up on the team and, like,
a lot.
Have, like, backup center? Like, I don't think... I feel like trading... Dwayne Dedman is almost like trading nothing.
The Cavs.
Sorry.
Well, that's why I have. That's why I have the Kings throwing in a first round pick, because they're not bad enough.
Yeah.
They're not bad enough where it's going to be a high lottery pick, and they'd be good enough that if they get K-Love, they'll probably be high enough that the pick will probably be close to the 20s. They would have Dwayne Dedman. The Cavs would have Dwayne Dedman under contract for 2 years, and then Trevor Ariza under contract for one more year after this year. So, the Cavs would have to deal with those contracts next year, but...
But I feel like, overall, it's, like, a fair... It makes sense, again, on both sides.
The only thing I worry about with the Kings is they just paid Harrison Barnes. They just paid Buddy Hield. They paid Harrison Barnes $85 million, Buddy Hield $90 million. They're going to have to pay De'Aaron Fox next year and Marvin Bagley the year after that. They might try to re-sign Bogdan Bogdanovic this summer as well. So they're paying all these guys. They might not want to trade for K-Love if they don't want to be in luxury tax hell. But at the same time, next year they have Dwayne Dedman and Ariza both under contract anyway. That's $26 million. That's what K-Love's making. So then it's just the 1 year, 2021, you're paying an extra $13 million to have K-Love. Because you're getting rid of Dwayne Dedman anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that excuse that they have makes a ton of sense. I feel like the benefit of having K-Love there makes sense to go into luxury tax with that team. I don't know.
Well, the two teams I save for last, or I think his two most realistic landing spots, are the two teams that everyone is talking about K-Love going to.
Great, so I'm never going to be able to make a decision.
The first one would be Portland. This one, I would say you have to probably wait closer to the trade deadline for Yusuf Nurkic to come back.
Okay.
Because they'd be sending Hassan Whiteside and his expiring contract to Cleveland with Nasir Little, who was a first-round pick. So they're not getting a physical first-round pick in return, but they're getting almost the equivalent.
An essential first-round pick.
And they'd be getting Scali Bissier, another young guy that you could take a flyer on, see what you have for a few months.
Has Nasir played this year?
Yeah, because they don't...
Well?
The Trailblazers have no one else. He's been playing...
He played well.
He's been playing decent. But it's another young guy for the Cavs to take a flyer on, another 24-year-old guy.
Yeah, okay.
So Whiteside, you get his expiring contract for a few months, get rid of him, let him walk, and then you have Nasir Little on his rookie.
Considering him as just like a piece, and like
you're getting rid of Kayla's money. That's all you're doing.
Whiteside is nothing.
Yeah,
you're getting rid of him.
It's the same thing as the Chandler Parsons deal.
I don't even like consider him a piece in the trade because like you're not even getting
it's the same thing as the Chandler Parsons deal. You're just getting off the money.
So I'm considering
but you're getting Nasir Little on his rookie deal 3 more years after this.
Scali
Bissier is on. He's an expiring contract because his rookie option wasn't picked up.
That's
so you get 2 months of him and see what you get, but you're getting to see a little for Caleb, basically, and getting rid of all that Caleb money. And he's expressed that he wants to play for Portland. He grew up in Portland, and...
He did.
Yeah. So if the Cavs want to do right by him, then maybe they pull the trigger on that.
And that makes sense, because you're doing it in a different...
And then the trade I personally like the most, that I think he's going to end up, is Phoenix. They have Tyler Johnson on an expiring $19 million contract. So same thing. The Cavs will get Tyler Johnson for the 2 months, whatever it would be, just to get rid of the money. Plus Dario Saric and Cheick Diallo. Dario Saric is also an expiring contract, but the Cavs would have his restricted free agent rights, meaning that they could match any offer that he gets in free agency. So I really like Dario's fit with the Cavs. He's a great rebounder for his size. He's a high IQ player. I think a guy like Dario would really be able to thrive in Cleveland, where he'd be more of a focal point of the offense, like we saw the few years for the Sixers. So I like this trade a lot for both sides. I think for Phoenix, they already have a decent amount of money committed in 2021. They already have, let's see, $70 million committed, so that might be enough for a max. But no one's going to sign with fucking Phoenix, and we know that. So they'd be
wrong. Are they?
No, who's going to sign in Phoenix? No one ever signs in Phoenix. Oh. Ricky Rubio signed in Phoenix, but no major star is going to. So figure that's the perfect small market, I think, that would be willing to take a chance to trade for Kevin Love. And you'd be able to pair him with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker going forward. That might be finally be able to get the Suns over the hump. We see them, they're the 9 seed in the West right now. They're playing probably a little bit over their heads. But I think Kevin Love would finally get them in that playoff picture, pairing him with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton.
I like the fit of K-Love on the Suns, too.
And I like the fit of Dario on the Cavs.
I feel bad for Dario. I just feel like... No, I just feel like Dario... I feel like the way he's been playing can kind of fit on any team. So, I think as you saying, like, he's a really good fit on the Cavs. Like, when you're a rebuilding team, who the fuck isn't a good fit on the Cavs? Like... You could kind of throw any player that's kind of been in the league for a few years and be like, they're a good fit on this team because they've been in the NBA and, like, they know what they're doing and, like, they're not fucking up and going to another, like, country. like they know what they're doing. They're going to be a solid NBA player. Like, they're going to be in the NBA for their career. Like, I think Dario is going to be that player. I think he's going to be someone that is in the NBA for his career. I don't think he's going to be anyone exceptional, but I think he's going to stay in the league. So, by you saying, like, he's a good fit for the Cavs...
Well, the Cavs would have to pay him this summer, probably. I'm guessing...
Are they going
to
pay him?
I think if they did that trade, I think they would pay him.
I think if I'm the Cavs, I want it. Because I think if I'm the Cavs, I'm going to be rebuilding my team, and I think
it depends. How much Dario wants in free agency.
I hate to say it, but it's like, if I'm the Cavs, which apparently you're making me be, Steven, why waste my money on someone like Dario when there's so many other players?
Because who else is going to go there?
There's so many other players that could do the same shit Dario does. There's so many players.
I'm projecting right now Dario Saric goes for about 4 years, $56 million in the free agency
market. I feel like there's so many guys that I could get that for.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like the Cavs do that trade, and then Dario's gone.
Well, either way, they'd have the option to bring. They could try out for 2 months, and then they have his restricted free agent
rights.
Which,
you know what?
So they could match any offer for him.
If he is working out well with the Cavs, dope, cool. But if not, I feel like that's kind of a win-win with the Cavs, because
it's more money off the books.
Yeah. So it's like, whatever, we're a rebuilding team. If Dario Saric doesn't work out, he's going to go to
Then he's going to be on his fifth team in 2 years. Okay.
I'm gonna cry.
So as Cleveland's, you heard 14 different offers. Which one do you think you like best? The ones you told me you like the most were the Lakers, where you get Danny Green and Avery Bradley. The Magic, where you get Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross. The Timberwolves, where you get Gorgui Dieng and Robert Covington. And I think those were the three you liked the most.
I think those are the three. I think from an outside perspective, I would have to go with the Lakers one, because, like, no shit, Danny Green's an awesome player, but I think looking forward towards the future, I kind of like the Magic one the most.
I like the Magic one the most as well,
because
we talked about
it. I think that I still feel like Aaron Gordon has so much potential to move forward, and I think maybe the Magic system isn't the right system for him.
And that happens sometimes.
Yeah, and that's
We've seen a lot of guys, they call them second contract guys, because on the second contract, after they leave the first team they're on, they really start to thrive.
Well, it's really evident to see that, like, Aaron Gordon's an NBA player. Like, he's not someone...
He's an NBA starter. That's not in dispute.
Yeah, no shit. So it's like, maybe he just needs to be on another team, and it's like, maybe he'll thrive being on a team like the Cavs that's rebuilding and that's going to piece their team together with players around them. So I feel like if I'm looking at all these trades, I think that the Magic one is the one that I like.
Makes sense for the both sides.
Yeah, I feel
well.
Like that's probably my favorite one.
Okay, guys, you heard it here first. We have Kevin Love going to the Magic for Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross. So with that said, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheNBAGirl. You can follow Alexa on Twitter at @AlexaKaiser. Shout out to BG the producer for always producing these podcasts and getting them to me promptly for me to share with you guys. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next episode, when maybe we'll be talking about where Jrue Holiday is going to be landing and where he's going to be traded to. Alexa, anything left to say?
I don't think I have anything left to say, but if I am an NBA coach, an NBA owner, I'm going to be doing the same thing as us tonight. I'm going to be taking shots of tequila, I'm going to be taking shots of whiskey, and I'm going to be hoping everything works out for my team. I'm glad I don't have that actual pressure on my life.
Oh, I wish I did, and that is a pressure that I plan to have one day when I get my JD decree, become a sports agent, and then turn that into a GM job just like Rob Pelinka did, or Bob Myers. So with that said, we'll talk to you guys next episode, and thanks for listening.